This is the Thrive Content Clubcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Content Clubcast. My name is Bronte and I'm a learning designer here at Thrive. In this podcast series, I'll be chatting to lots of different people to hear about their views on all things imposter syndrome. My guest today is Thrive's very own internal coach, Amy Young. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Bronte. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
I am the internal coach at Thrive. I look after all things to do with kind of coaching, learning, development, kind of performance, that kind of stuff. I've got a very keen interest in things like imposter syndrome and challenging limiting beliefs and things like that. I make quite a few TikToks about it. That's been my new thing. My 2023 challenge to myself was to create content. You can check out those as well, which is quite cool.
Nice. So let's just dive right in, really. I would love to know your thoughts on how you would define imposter syndrome and what it is.
Firstly, it's completely normal for you to feel those kind of feelings of imposter syndrome. It's something that has been bandied around quite a lot as a term. Typically, you feel like a fraud. You feel as though someone is going to kind of see through your act, or that maybe you're not qualified to do something. There are thoughts that can sometimes spiral a little bit and you can get yourself into a bit of a tricky place with it. And it's also important to remember that even though there's a stat I read this morning that said, 82% of women say that they have experienced imposter syndrome. It does affect everybody of all backgrounds, all lived experiences. It's not really just limited specifically to women. We just tend to talk about it more with women, but I'll touch a bit on that later.
In a work setting, how have you seen it kind of come up? How have people come to you and said, their experiences of it?
Interestingly, it has been a lot of women who do come to me about it. And typically I see it when someone has got a new promotion, stepped into a new role, gone through a significant life change, that could be becoming a parent or a significant relationship and things like that. It typically manifests fairly quietly, but then becomes very rapid. It starts to infer people's decision-making, their thoughts about themselves, their relationships with others. So when I talk about it spiraling, you often find people feeling as though they don't necessarily belong or fit somewhere. And that can be quite detrimental to them and be quite a challenge on a daily basis for them.
And do people always come to you knowing that it is imposter syndrome? Or I guess what kind of questions do you ask them to find that out?
That's interesting, actually. I've noticed in the last 2 years of coaching that people come to me and they say, I have imposter syndrome. Before that, it was very much a conversation I would have with them to kind of get to the root cause of it. And I would know that they were suffering from something like imposter syndrome. But I think because there is so much awareness of imposter syndrome, because people talk about it so much, people feel a little bit more confident in sort of discussing that might be what they're experiencing.
Obviously, it has become more prevalent, especially in the last couple of years. For companies that don't have great internal coaches like yourself, do you think that, managers are equipped to be able to kind of, I guess, deal with people experiencing imposter syndrome?
I think managers try their best. I think in particular with the pandemic and the last sort of 3 to 4 years, there's been a lot of pressure put on managers to be all things to all people, right? So before you were typically in an office, and you were around people and you were getting that incidental learning from each other. There was more of a community. When people are isolated, they're working from home more. They're not with other people all the time. They can feel those imposter syndrome feelings a little bit more. And it's very difficult for managers to hold everyone's hand all the time and keep reassuring. They do their best. I know that from coaching managers for the last sort of 4 to 5 years. They really do have the best intentions, the majority of them. But it can be really difficult for them to consistently coach and guide their people through those feelings of imposter syndrome. That's where we move on to talking about imposter syndrome being more of a systemic issue as opposed to on the individual.
Because I guess managers can have it too. So who's there, you know, to support them? And then the higher up you go, you know, I think I read a stat that was, I can't remember exactly what the percentage was, maybe around 70% of female executives experience imposter syndrome too. So, you know, who's there to support those people? That's really interesting. So let's talk about when people come to you and they say they've got imposter syndrome, or you figure out it is imposter syndrome that they have. What are the first steps that you say to them for them to overcome it?
The first thing is creating a psychologically safe space for people to kind of just really express everything that they need to express, right? I'll ask questions around when something happened, when they saw a shift in someone's behavior or a change, when they felt an internal change in how they're thinking about things. But the most groundbreaking question you can ask anybody who's facing imposter syndrome is, where is your proof? Where is your evidence? You do a proof test. So when someone says, I'm just no good at this job, who told you that? Or, I'm not qualified. Aren't you? I thought you had been doing this for 10 years. It's got nothing to do with academics, by the way. It's got nothing to do with that at all. It's, you know, how qualified you are, how much experience you have in something. It's reminding people that they do make an impact and they do make a difference. And oftentimes I'm finding when I'm speaking to people, it's those people who are typical high potentials, those people who are really driven and ambitious, who do suffer with this imposter syndrome. And it's because they're putting so much pressure on themselves. It's because they're looking for the next thing all the time. And they want things to be perfect. And they're very invested in their careers and their families and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, that first question, that groundbreaking question always is, what is your proof and where is your evidence? There's something else I always say to people, because oftentimes when we have imposter syndrome, that inner voice that we have, I call it the little B-I-C-T-H. I won't swear on the podcast, but it's that little voice on your shoulder that's telling you can't do something. That's your imposter syndrome kind of niggling away at you. I will always ask you to think about your situation that you're feeling now. Put it onto a friend, a loved one, a family member. What would you say to them? How would you guide them through that? I can give you an exact example from this morning where I was talking to my husband about something, and I get this too, by the way. People will look at me and be like, oh yeah, you're a coach, you're fine. I'm really not, actually. Okay. And I said to him, God, I feel like a failure. And he turned it around in the most loving way, as a partner does. And he said, can you just talk to me more about why you're a failure? What about this thing is reflective of you? Isn't this something completely separate? What was your control over that? If I'd applied that loving clarity to myself when I was saying, you're a failure, you're so rubbish, and the little person on my shoulder was saying that, it would have maybe helped me get out of that kind of mindset a lot quicker. So that's also a really powerful thing to do, is to kind of think, how am I speaking to myself? How would I speak to a friend? How would I guide them through this?
That is such a lovely way to look at it. I really like that. Do you ever think that imposter syndrome can actually be a good thing? I've asked, you know, people on other episodes whether they think it can, and whether it can be something that can motivate people to do better or be the better version of themselves.
Yeah, I really love that that concept. You introduced me to that, actually. And I was speaking to Sean, our CEO, a few weeks ago about this imposter syndrome. He's very interested in it and very interested in kind of what it means for people. And we were talking about whether or not it can be a positive thing, like how can we reframe it? And I think it can be. I think what imposter syndrome does is it removes ego. And I think it kind of creates space. If you're in the right place with the right trusted people around you and you have that psychological safety, it creates space for reflection. Because sometimes our self-doubt is valid. That's part of us being reflective and self-aware. Sometimes when it doesn't feel right, it's because it wasn't right and we could have made it better, or someone else could have made it better. The danger we have with all the positivity, I think, around the imposter syndrome thing of like, you can do it, you're a boss, you're amazing, is like, I do want people to reflect and just think about their part that they've played in something, in a situation. So I think that the ego thing is really good. And the second thing is, I think it does motivate. I think it does drive people. And like I said, typically it's those really ambitious people that I'm coaching, those real high potentials that are suffering with this imposter syndrome mindset. And it's because they are driven. It's because they're ambitious. And so the reframe that we will have in our coaching session and our conversation will be around, what can you control? What can't you control? What can you influence? How can you turn this situation into more of a positive so that you feel like you are guiding it in the right direction and you're taking back control over it as opposed to allowing it to spiral?
Is there ever any homework that you set for people coming to you specifically for imposter syndrome?
Yes. The first thing is to research what exactly it is. The second thing is to ask your friends, family, and colleagues for feedback. This is why feedback is so important. We talk about feedback at Thrive all the time. But it is so, so, so important to have that positive feedback and that developmental feedback so you actually know the truth and the facts of the situation. And there is also a fantastic speech that I watched recently that I've been sending to like literally everybody I know by someone called Reshma Sajani. She does a lot of work on in the imposter syndrome space, and she's done this fantastic keynote where she talks about imposter syndrome being more around structural inequality as opposed to individual inadequacy. And that is an absolute reframe that is like setting the world on fire. I actually learned about it in our Women in Learning group. And it's a fascinating take on what imposter syndrome really is. And it takes it away from that individual, it's on you, to, okay, what situation are you in? What environment are you in? Who are you surrounding yourself? How is that feeding those feelings of imposter syndrome?
I will get that link from you and I'll put it in the podcast description because it sounds like it would help a lot of people, myself too. I think that's a great place to wrap up the podcast. So I just want to say thank you for coming on and being our guest. It's been great to have you on today.
My absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Content Clubcast. Join me next time for another episode of talking about all things imposter syndrome. See you then.
You've been listening to the Thrive Content Podcast. Visit www.thrivelearning.com for more information. Be bold. Be brave. Thrive.